Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for, God, your presence here. We pray for the Holy Spirit, God. Many of us are praying, God, for revival. Many of us are praying, God, that your Spirit would move our hearts. God, that we would declare you as our King in the truest sense. So, God, just take your word, Lord, and would you put it into our hearts, write it, Lord, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And would you transform us and, God, help us, God, in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about suffering. that's a very timely. When we talk about suffering, we're talking about, obviously, pain. Last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us and convicts us to declare Jesus as Lord. And sometimes we feel like the Holy Spirit needs a lot of help. We want to make it easy for people to accept Jesus Christ. You know, we want to make it, you know, we want to get latte machines and, you know, we just want to make it like really, you know, nice, you know, for people to come and accept Jesus as their Lord. And we want to make it a friendly environment and so forth. And in of itself, there's nothing wrong with friendly environments and, you know, but it does nothing. It does nothing in helping anybody declare Jesus is Lord. Agree? Do you think a friendly environment in any way takes anybody over the hump to accept Jesus as Lord? To declare Jesus as King. The scripture says it actually takes the Holy Spirit to do that. So we saw that last week. Matter of fact, Jesus, like when people wanted to follow him, he was like, I don't know if you really want to follow me. Then he would just say, like, sell everything you got and follow me. I was like, oh. But like, we're like that. We're the rich young rulers, you know what I mean? Like, we think it's somebody else, but that's us. You know, well, let me go and bury my father first. Let me do this. And let me, you know, we have gotten used to the idea that being a Christian is being a follower of Jesus Christ who actually doesn't follow Jesus Christ. Because to follow Jesus Christ is to obey what he has commanded. Like praying. Right? And other things. But the greatest of all of that is love. The most difficult and impossible thing to do is to love people. Now, you would probably say, you know, well, non-Christians love people. Yes. But not in the way that Jesus commands us to love people. And Jesus takes out of the equation, like, loving your children. Like, even evil people love their children. Like, that's not like the, like, that was like the best dad. Henry was like the best father. Actually, there are probably like a lot of non-Christian fathers who are like better than me. I'm not kidding. Like, I hear some stories of fathers who spend every waking moment, you know, doting and play. I like, for me, I had like a tolerance level, like playing with my kids. There are some patient dads out there who will play dolls and get dressed up for their, I was like, man, who are you? Now, I can honestly say that in of myself, okay, I'm just, you know, like, I mean, my kids tell me, oh, you're the best dad, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I mean, like, let's just be honest about that. Like, I would just be honest with myself. And they write me, you know, happy birthday cards and Father's Day cards, always telling me. And I think they believe it, so I don't want to ruin it. And don't you go and tell them. But I know. But to love somebody who's not your blood, to lay down your life, to do stuff, it's just like, like, that's hard. Can we all admit that's, really, really hard? But this is where it's all going, isn't it? Like, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. You go to work because all of the pain that is the most intense pain is all relational. It's all relational. And so when you say, why does it require the Holy Spirit to declare Jesus is Lord? Because the greatest commandment of Jesus is to love God, which is defined as do what I say. And what does he say? To love one another. To love. And the entire Bible is expounding what that really means and looks like. That's why Jesus is like, you know, so a lot of us, we get to a place in our walk, and we want to like get to that comfortable place where we're really not growing in love, but we're growing a lot in biblical knowledge, you know? Like how many memory verses we did and how many, like, you know, how many times I've been slain in the Holy Spirit. But it's not, what is that doing in us obeying Jesus, especially the command of Jesus to really love? So, and why don't we do that? Because it's painful, folks. It's painful. Matter of fact, just on our way to church, Joshua's in the back, you know. Ellen is prepared Sunday school, and she was like, you know, do you know why? She asked me a question. Do you know why, like, the Paul's epistles are arranged the way it is? And I'm like, he goes, and I'll give you a hint, it's not chronological. And I'm like, why? Yeah, I mean, I know it's not chronological. But do you know why it's arranged the way it is, seminary man? And I was like, oh, no. Now, I interpret that, okay? Now, my brain is already simulating pain. Pain of, like, embarrassment, not knowing something, right? Not just in front of Ellen, but Joshua's in the back. I don't even know if he's listening. So I'm, like, pontificating at this point. Well, I mean, you know. And I'm like, you know, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm saying at this point, right? And Ellen's like, you know, she doesn't mean to, like, do the gotcha. I mean, it's just, you know, it's an interesting bit of, like, trivia. So I'm downplaying it. Is it really an important point at this point? You know what I mean? And the point is, we simulate pain. Now, if she was here, she'd be listening to what I'm saying. Then I would profusely apologize because I had no business. Because our pride, right, it just goes up. Why? But part of it is just pain avoidance. So many of our lives, okay, right now, if I say, how many of you are encountering incredible amounts of pain for Jesus? We would all say, eh, maybe not so much, you know? How many people are like really out there, like trying to, you know, just like care for people and stuff like that, you know? Like, how many people, like I've talked about this in the past. How many of you know that it's really difficult to care for difficult people? Even in your own families. It's really difficult. And you need Jesus. You need the love of God to continually just. But the reason, like, we don't really feel the need, because we don't even try anymore. Yeah, we get to a place where it's like, well, you know, like, I'm, you know, dropping some money into Venmo and, you know, giving it to the church. And, you know, I do some stuff, you know, I do my thing. But let's read Philippians 1:29, and then we'll talk about this. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. So to believe in Jesus is not just to believe in Jesus, because there's a a clause here. But also, like, you gotta, like, say, when you sign up to believe in Jesus, how many of you knew that you were signing up to suffer for Jesus? How many of you knew that? But I think a lot of times, right, you know, what we're trying to do, like, we just want our kids to say, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. That's what we want to hear. And the Holy Spirit is like saying, well, that's part of it. But we want to get your kids to say, I believe you in Jesus. I accept you into my heart, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll suffer wherever, however you want me to suffer. That's his end goal. But suffering is something we're not really good at, especially in modern days. Our children don't work. My children, honestly, never had a blue-collar job in their life. And relationally, it's just hard. How many people know and admit that if you go into Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, how many people know that you're going to suffer? How many people know that? How many people know that if a foxy lady, I don't even know if they say foxy anymore, okay? That's how old I am. But if, like, is walking by, if you don't stare at, if you, like, just don't gawk and you just, like, try not to look, how many people you're gonna suffer? How many people know that if you go into like some, you know, Louis Vuitton store, okay? I know it's Louis Vuitton, okay? Jeez. But how many of you know if you go in there and you know like all your friends have it and stuff like that, and you got like the Coach bag from like 1990 and stuff, like how many of you know that you're gonna suffer? You're going to suffer, yes. Life is just, like, you can't help it, you know? Every day you walk out that door, you don't even hardly have to do anything. You're going to compare. People are going to say stuff to you. You're going to simulate. You're going to, like, try to avoid that. You're going to try to avoid pain. You know what that leads into? There's a syndrome I saw on CNN. It's a Japanese syndrome that happens to Asian, particularly Asian young people, teens. Hokikomoto or something like that? Is it? I don't even know if I... Hokiko something. Man, I'm butchering everything. Thank you, Joshua. What he said. And it is like this tendency to isolate yourself. Okay? And I don't know why, but it's like a disease that's affecting East Asian teenagers. Isolation. Do you know why we isolate? We want to avoid pain. You know why? Do you know what like, social anxiety is? I don't know how many people know, but I have social anxiety. You know? And every time I walk into a room, right? Like a big room, you know, I mean, there's always a popular table. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just like, you know, I was always like, you know, like walking to the, especially when I was like the only Asian kid, you know, in school and you walk into that cafeteria after, you know, during lunch period, you know, you're trying to like, oh, I got the tray. Where do I sit? How many people know that awkwardness? You don't even have to be Asian. It's at work. Who do I have lunch with this time? Or do I, but you know what the safe thing to do is? Just take your lunch and go to your cubicle. Avoid that whole, you know, like we avoid stuff like this because our mind is like, it's just like trying to say, oh, like, let's just not like think about this. And so it's like drawing us more and more into isolation because we're like, the pain is not worth it. And Jesus is saying, no, Jesus is absolutely worth it. How many people believe that you can waste your life avoiding pain? How many people believe that? Okay, maybe you don't. Okay? The most wasted life is a life, okay, of avoiding pain. We're going to talk about sacrifice next week. But pain is with us. We can't avoid it. Because even if you isolate yourself, have you successfully avoided pain? Oh, I'm not going to go to any more social events. I'm not going to go into, like, I'm not going to have relationships with, like, a lot of people because they just hurt you. Have you successfully avoided pain? There's an eternity in your heart that God created, and it can only be filled by God and other people. First Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share. Is that Greek word koinonia, that fellowship in Christ's sufferings. Do you know that if you have fellowship with Jesus, you have fellowship with his suffering? There is no such thing as I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't have a relationship, okay, in suffering. Matter of fact, the picture of baptism is to now die with Jesus in his suffering, right? To join him in his death. And when I say share, I'm talking about not running away from. Now, I've prayed before I actually spoke, because many of you may leave this sanctuary and continue to isolate yourself and run away from suffering. When I say run away from suffering, run away from having to actually love people and be loved by people, actually having to apologize all the time and having to forgive all the time, and to be patient and to share your stuff, right? To give people things. And then befriend people that are really, really difficult. We think that a good life is avoiding those things. And I am here to tell you what Jesus is saying, and I hope the Holy Spirit is telling you and convincing you, that is an absolute waste of life. You could completely waste your life by isolating yourself from love. Having to love and to be loved. That's the Holy Spirit's thing. That's why we need him. Because without the Holy Spirit, continue to say, come on, Henry, just get back up. Everybody who does this, everybody who tries to, to pray for other people, everybody tries to give to other people, everybody's going to get knocked down. The question is, are you going to get back up? There are people who've been knocked down, by going to church. You've been really hurt. And what Jesus is saying is, look, the Holy Spirit's whole thing is to go and bind up the brokenhearted. Isn't that what the scripture says? Bind up the brokenhearted. With your parents, with your friends. He just wants to come and heal you. Get you ready. And guess what? And to get back out there. But a lot of times it's no, I've been down there. It's only trouble. What Jesus is promising is it's not trouble. There's pain, but it's not trouble. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. This is the Spirit now, the Holy Spirit. When we commit our lives to the Lord, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is the assurance of salvation. That we are children of God. And sometimes you just want to say we just want to stop right there. That's all the Spirit's bearing witness to. No, let's just go on. And if children, then heirs. That means we got everything. When we become the children of God, we receive every good thing that God could possibly give us. We have it. We're heirs. Okay? Maybe we want to stop there. I feel like some Ronco commercial. No, there's more. For those who know the Ronco commercials, it's like telemark. Anyway, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided, meaning if. So this is the Holy Spirit talking to. I hope the Holy Spirit is talking to you, testifying to your spirit, if we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit is trying to now convince you that the good stuff in becoming a Christian is if we suffer with Jesus Christ. Go after people he's going after. Because Jesus is about to go after some lost people, folks. The brokenhearted, the dysfunctional, right? That's the Jesus mission. Now, what the Holy Spirit, if he's moving in you, he's saying, I'm going to bind you up because you're my child. You got everything that I can give you. What he's saying is,
let's get after this. Let's get after this. Let's not grow weary. Let's not grow weary. Why? In order that we may be glorified with Him. Folks, we have no idea when it's all said and done. And I want the whole, because I can't communicate this. The Holy Spirit to raise up this ambition to say, what is Paul saying in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit convinced Paul, Paul, I want you to imagine all the good that's kind of come out of your suffering. And I'm going to elevate that to a whole different dimension. Paul's not going into detail because there are no words how worth it is. You know, if you suffer in being an athlete, you just get to be a good athlete. If you suffer in like playing like the guitar, you're going to be, you know, like if you suffer because you're a good student, that's like you're going to be like a good student. Maybe you'll become successful. What Paul is saying is like, man, glorified with Him. Not an ounce of your suffering in pursuit of love will ever go wasted. Now, you can pull back from that. You can pull back, but you're pulling back for the only thing that matters in this life. When I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. You ever get angry at God for the pains in your life? Sometimes we don't even like to admit it, but we're upset with God because you just feel like, you know, like other people have it better. That better stuff, you know, like just. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. That means those attacks are not going to stop. But you know what he figured out? The solution isn't trying to figure it out. The solution is to come into the presence of God. Amen? That's the only solution. You don't try to philosophize why you feel envious, why you're bitter. You don't philosophize and try to figure out why I'm in so much pain, why the bitterness is overwhelming me. You commit to continually being with the Lord. That's what you commit to enter into His presence. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory, whom I in heaven but you. And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. That's what happened. It's like, God, you know what other people have? I have you. That's all I want. That's all I want because I have you and I am more satisfied than 10 Ferraris. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that's coming from a man, you know, who doesn't have a lot, you know? If you can imagine, you know, like, you know, just a famous person who just is like, you know, forced to live this humble life until he realizes that in that humility, God will exalt you. And if you're exalted by God because He's bestowed you with His presence, folks, you're the richest person in the world. Amen? 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, because Paul's talking about the thorn in his flesh, that it should leave me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know what that weakness sometimes, it means disability, illness. You know, sometimes you got that raw pain and it's just like, you know, I was very depressed, clinically so. You know, they put me on lithium and stuff when I was in college. And anybody who's ever experienced, you know, depression, I remember waking up and having to go to my class, I walked out of the building. I literally could not walk another step. I could not go to class. I turned around and I went back into bed. What is Paul saying? You think Paul didn't experience hardship? People were attacking him. Not only attack, people were like leaving him, betraying him. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the Christian life. Let's go to Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. What God is saying is, don't run away. Overcome your social anxiety. Make it out. I know you probably don't even like that person. Humble yourself and say a kind word for the 100th time. I know that it's really, really difficult. When I was in high school, the best decision I've ever made, because I was such a loser. I mean, such a loser. I was a complete loser. I could not get up before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. No matter how I tried. I even tried going to school. I stopped even trying to go to school. You ever get into that funk? It's just like, I can't even get up, let alone walk to school. Or like, even get on the bus to go to school. You know, like, all that is happening. But what God is saying is, like, I don't trust myself. I'm trusting what Christ did on the cross for me. So don't run away, especially from people. Don't forsake the gathering of believers. Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to be pouring that love in the midst of our suffering. And guess what? None of that. Nothing that I went through in high school, nothing that I went through in college, not an ounce of it went to waste. How many people look back at your life and go, thank goodness that there was suffering in my life? Okay. All right. Right? Jeremy is actually the only one that's probably in his heart raising his hand. I'm going to end with this. And this is just as a to balance to what we're saying. It says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What it is not, there's no mano el mano with Jesus Christ. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not going to compensate for the fact that you want to do this alone. The idea of privacy, right, in the Christian life, like, that's an American idea. That is not a Christian idea. The Christian idea is, how can you bear another burdens if you don't know anything about it? The Holy Spirit works in our humility to come around one another. As we begin to lift one another, bear each other's burdens, the Holy Spirit. It's a team effort, right? If you're team Jesus, you're team church. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for all the ways that you bless us. God, thank you that we're not by ourselves. God, thank you that we have a place to go to our knees and to each other. God, thank you that you're so faithful. And help us now, God, as we move towards you. God, we pray for the Holy Spirit to give us strength and power not to run away, but run towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.